IVM.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Sponge Podcast, episode 25. Decisions made rapidly. We're going to be discussing the 25th chapter of this book, Sponge, Leadership Lessons I Learned from My Clients with Ambi Parmeshwaran. As always, we're going to get into this chapter a little bit. Hey, Ambi, how's it going?
Hey, good to be back.
Yeah. It has been a while. Well, actually, no, as far as everybody else is
concerned,
we just met last week. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's pretend people think that we're doing this every week. We meet every week. We talk every week. We do this every week.
Yes.
But okay, so decisions made rapidly, right? I mean, this is the name of the title. It's an interesting title name. Generally speaking, in your overall opinion, is this a good thing, a bad thing, an indifferent thing, or your mileage may vary? What do you think about decisions?
Well, I think the politically right answer is it depends.
Okay.
So you know, there are some situations where it's worth, you know, kind of thinking 20 times before taking a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there are some times when you can take a decision quickly and right. You're probably pretty well off. You've probably got the answer 90% close to it. So the problem is in marketing and advertising especially, clients tend to take very long to take decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And this chapter really is an example of how I had a client who actually took decisions pretty quickly and actually ended up helping us create some pretty decent piece of advertising.
So let's actually maybe go into that story, right? You were talking about Compaq and...
Yeah, so the story is about, you know, Compaq Presario advertising, and the client was a great guy called Ravi Swaminathan, right? And, you know, just to get our listeners to understand the process of advertising, how an ad gets, you know... You normally a consumer, you see the ad on TV, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, you think that you're okay. You know, it's a nice ad, and probably they took about 3 days to make the ad, you know, and probably someone decided on doing the ad and, you know, it all happened. But in reality, making a television ad or even any video ad today is a long process, you know. So first, the client calls the agency, briefs the agency. And the agency goes back with what they think is their understanding of the brief.
Right.
And then they agree on what is called the copy strategy. What do you want to say? Do you want to say, this computer runs very fast? Do you want to say this computer can play games or whatever it is? And then you work on the creative. And the creative is then written as, let's say, a script. Script is presented to the client. Invariably, the client says, I like this about the script, but I don't like this about the script. Can you guys come back? So you go back the second time, you go back the third time, and finally, on an average, in about 3 meetings, the script gets cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Then the script gets into a test. You know, you make a storyboard,
mm-hmm.
you put it into market research, you wait for the market research results to come. That will take probably 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
And those results are incorporated in the script, and the script undergoes one more round of change. Now, we've already gone past something like the 8-week mark.
Right.
And nothing has been done as yet. You're still discussing on paper.
Okay.
Right. And then you say, okay, the script is now cleared for production. Then you start really storyboarding it. You start talking to producers, identify producers. Normally, most clients say, you know, we know so-and-so is your favorite director, but we want to look at 3 showreels.
Right.
So you take out 3 showreels from 3 different producers, send it to the client.
The director that you picked in the first place anyway.
Yeah, but finally, you know, Anik is on the line, so we push for the director we want to work
right.
with, but the client has a say. So
yeah, of course.
So that takes another 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally the film goes into production. Then you start hunting with the models. You have a post-production meeting, you know, pre-production meeting. And I know of clients who have pre-production meetings which run for 2 days.
Okay.
Where you discuss the color of the shoe which the, you know, lady is going to be wearing. The shoe is not going to be... And the director will be going blue in his face saying, boss, the shoe is not going to be in the frame. No. But it should not be the green colored shoe because our, you know, shampoo pack is blue colored. So
Tell you a short secret around this? This kind of overly analytical feedback.
Analytical is right.
I use the word analytical very advisedly. So I assisted Kailash Surendranath for a very short period of time where he was doing some ad film work and stuff like that. One of the people who we met from, we were doing a shoot. I'm not going to name the brand or anything like that. And as part of the shoot, there was a lady from the client who was essentially a year out of college if a day. Okay, she was younger than I was, and I was 24 at that time, right? Okay. And a long discussion ensued over as to how many water drops should be visible on the sunflower. That is the day I realized that advertising is not for me.
Yeah, nice.
Because Kailash has to Kailash is not just entertaining this conversation, he's engaging in this conversation.
That's because, you know, Kailash is an extremely polite gentleman, but, you know, a rude guy like Prahlad Kakkar would have said, throw this client out of the set, and the client would have, you know, been in tears. But and she would have called her boss, and the boss would have tried calling Prahlad. Prahlad would say no. So great drama would have happened. I mean, you missed that because sheer fact, because, you know, Kailash is a very polite and a gentleman.
Yes, he is.
Right? So, you know, so this goes on and on and on. So from the day you meet the client and the client briefs you to the day the film actually comes on air, you may be anything between 4 months to 6 months, you know, for this to happen. This is most agencies know this, you know, your films don't get through very fast. So this story is about how FCB had won this account Compaq globally, and we were told to handle the account in India. I met Ravi Swaminathan in Bangalore. He briefed me very clearly. He said, look, you know, you got this thing happening. We want to add quickly. And, you know, it's an old desktop computer, right, which had these colorful bezels, so you could change the color, you know.
I remember.
Blue, green, red, you can change it.
I remember the ad, actually. I do remember the ad.
Okay, great. So, and he said, look, you know, yes, it's a very good computer. It's got a lot of good features, but guys, you know, I want to make it cool. I want to make it appeal to the youngsters, and let's play up on the color of the bezels. Hmm. So he said, that's going to be the focus thing of the ad. We said, okay, good. Right. I mean, it's an interesting thing to hang our hat on. So we worked on a script, and and he said, I'm going to be coming to Bombay in 4 days' time. Can you guys present some ideas to me? So literally, first meeting, I think 3 or 4 days later, he was in Bombay. My team went and presented. I thought it was a very good script.
Right.
But he said, look, this script is good, but, you know, this is happening in an office, whereas I wanted to be home. So the guys came back and said, look, we have to write a new script. I said, no, let's discuss the script. And then we managed to rejig the same script, you know, from office situation to a home situation, and we thought it's working fine. So we called Ravi and said, look, I think we fixed it. Can we meet tomorrow? So he said, yeah, come. So the next day we met him, presented the script. He said, great. And he said, this is my budget for the film, and can you guys get Preeti Zinta to play the role? So we kind of looked at each other and said, look, you know, the money you have, either you have a film or you can pay that to Preeti Zinta.
Right.
You'll have nothing left, you know, to put on air. So he said, no, that. So we went, you know, so he said, fine. So when can I see the film? I said, no, Ravi, we have to do a pre-production meeting. So he said, what's a pre-production meeting? He said, no, you have to meet the producer, the director. He'll tell you. He said, oh, can we do it quickly? I said, yeah, let me try. As luck would have it, we were thinking of using, I think, Sabal. Sabal was available within 2 days to meet the client. And everything worked like clockwork. So within literally 2 weeks, the film was ready to go on air.
It's possible.
And so, I mean, miracles happen, right? And and I think a lot of credit goes to Ravi because he didn't put us through the ringer like a normal one. In many, many, many client situations, the CEO doesn't engage with the agency.
Right.
It's really the brand team, the marketing manager. And you've gone through 3 rounds of meeting, then the chief marketing officer will come and or the CEO will come, and he'll ask some fundamental questions about existential questions like, you know, son, his son rising from the east or west? And then everyone look at each other, you know, yeah, we know the answer, but what does he want us to say?
Yeah.
Right. So in this case, he was engaged. He had a team, he had a brand team. We were working with him.
Right.
And from day one, he met, he cleared everything. And 2 weeks, we had the film ready. And interesting, the film went on to do well for the brand. It did so well for the brand that they decided to use it in many of the Far East Asian countries.
Right.
And so I was discussing this with Ravi Swaminathan at my book talk in Delhi last year. And so he had an interesting thing. He said, look, guys, you know, I did not know it's supposed to take time. You know, I wanted the ad out because it was a Diwali coming up.
Right.
And I wanted it very fast. And the chances are, you know, what you guys presented would be good. And I interestingly trusted your judgment. And I said, let's go ahead. A lot of times clients don't do that, right? They one have to put you through the ringer, 3, 4, 5 rounds of meetings. By then everyone is brain dead and, you know, ready to say yes to whatever the client wants. So I think in this case, Ravi took an instinctive call saying, okay, I like it and I trust your judgment. Let's go ahead.
That's rare though, right? I mean, that's not something that you're seeing very regularly where the... Which is kind of unusual as well, because you are hiring people for their specific expertise, but then you want to basically put your own lack of expertise on top of their expertise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've talked about this at a previous episode. Mm-hmm. We talked about Dr. Kurian.
Uh-huh.
You know, so some clients instinctively have a lot of trust quotient in them, and they are willing to put that trust onto their partners. Mm-hmm. And when a client trusts you so much, you also tend to perform at a higher level.
Of course.
Saying, look, yeah, you know, you have no one to blame if the ad goes bad because
right.
the guy approved everything we presented, right? So, you know, we have to make sure it works well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that trust actually puts a tremendous pressure on you to perform better.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. You know, so let's go back to the episode title, right? Decisions made rapidly. You know, this reminds in some ways of Facebook's famous line, make decisions, move fast and break things.
Yeah.
Right. They've changed that now to move fast with stable infrastructure. But I mean, like the initial line was move fast and break things. Is that, I think, I mean, like, you know, the story that we've spoken about over here is one where moving fast was clearly the optimum way to proceed, right?
Yeah.
How fast is too fast, though?
Well, I think, you know, and there's this whole concept called design thinking, right? Where, you know, it talks of this, right? It says that instead of continuously discussing things, do a rapid prototype and fail fast.
Yep.
So they say, look, instead of just sitting and discussing, make the stuff, put it out into the market, see what happens. If it fails, come back and fix it. So I think that's a new mantra which is coming out that, you know, we can apply a lot of those design principles into management. That, you know, instead of sitting and discussing the same thing again and again and again, you might as well do the stuff, put it out into the market. If it doesn't work, fix it. So this whole thing about failing fast is a new mantra. That, you know, you can fail fast, fail many more times, but every time you fail, you're learning something, you're getting so much better at what you're doing. And so the whole thing starts with the thing that take the decision quickly.
Right.
Don't keep postponing taking the decision. And in this case, we saw, you know, what Ravi did is that he took the decision quickly. He put out the ad. It turned out it worked well. If it had not worked, he would have said, okay, let's pull it off. Let's run it for 2 weeks. Let's pull it off. Let's do something else.
Right.
And let's do something else quickly. Right. And we would have done something else quickly.
Right.
But the fact is, you're not wasting time just going over the same things again and again and again. You know, what scarf will the model be wearing?
Right.
And what kurta will she be wearing? And what will be her hairstyle? You know, etc.
All the rest of it. Yeah, no, I get that. I understand that. My question is more, again, I spend more time in the tech space than I do in I have spent more time there. Sometimes to me, it feels like we have moved too far in this direction. Well, the direction of basically just trying something out without proper planning, without proper thought, without proper kind of like, you know, without due consideration. Do you feel like that is happening or do you disagree with that contention?
I don't think that is happening. Yeah. You know, I don't think that's happening. I don't think we are just moving fast without thinking. Right?
Okay.
I think today, if you look at some startups whom I'm advising, they are ready to try things, and if it fails, to change.
Mm.
Right. And today we have a new word for this called pivoting, right? The pivot is a new word.
Yeah.
So you pivot your career, you pivot your startup, you pivot stuff, right? The question remains that before pivoting, are you sitting and saying, look, have I given this a sufficient time for it to work or not? So, for example, Myntra is the number one fashion label in the country, right? They didn't start as a fashion label. They started as a website providing personalized gift items.
Okay.
Right? And they could make a mug with your face on it.
They could make a t-shirt with your face
on it. And I remember meeting them years ago, early stage, where they wanted me to introduce them to some of my clients so that they could start making t-shirts and mugs and stuff like that.
Right.
Now, obviously, they tried that. They didn't give up quickly. They tried that for 2 to 3 years, and then they finally said, no, this is not working.
Right.
And then they pivoted because they knew how to get t-shirts made, how to get things made. And then they said, let's become fashion.
Right.
Right. So there is a nebulous connection between personalized t-shirts and fashion, but they managed to make the transition and become very successful. But I think they gave it a sufficient run.
Right.
That this is not going to work. So the question you're asking is, when do you draw the line? When do you say, look, this is not working, let's pivot?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the golden question over here, right?
Yeah,
and like knowing that answer, how much is too much and how little is too little?
Yeah, we don't have a right answer for that. Saying, look, is it worth trying for 2 years before pivoting?
Depends on what you're trying also, right? Yeah, I mean, like, what is the intensity of what your effort is matters as well, I think, in that sense, right? I mean, like, but in the case of something like Myntra, if your company is based on the idea of creating personalized things, then you have to give it a significant amount of time. But if that's a product line, maybe you don't have to give it the same amount of time as you do to the company.
Yeah. So I mean, even if you take certain product categories, like I'm told Coke introduces something like 10 or 20 new flavors every year in Japan.
Okay.
Because Japan is a flavor-oriented market.
And they
know that all 20 won't succeed, one or two will succeed. The rest will be taken off the market and they'll come back with the new stuff. So I think there is a lot of merit in moving with decisions instead of just going round and round, you know.
Right.
And I think that's something which, you know, I even picked up in some articles which I've read saying what really differentiates a successful CEO.
Okay.
And one of the key things which makes a successful CEO is that he's decisive, that he's able to take decisions.
Right.
With the clear view that it's better to take a decision than have no decision at all.
Okay.
Because if you take a decision, if it's a right decision, you're a hero.
Right.
If it's a wrong decision, you end up learning something.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Whereas if you don't take any decision, it becomes a default option.
Yeah.
No. So you don't know what would have happened, right? If you're taking the left turn or the right turn,
right,
something will happen. Whereas if you stay in the same place, you're going to get run over.
Right. Well, I mean, like, it matters in terms of you're making decisions based on certain factors that exist at that point in time.
Exactly. And I think Malcolm Gladwell talks about it in his book Blink, that a lot of times, a lot of CEOs have developed an inherent algorithm to process data. You ask them, how did you take that decision? They may not be able to tell you.
But they know.
But instinctively, they felt that this sounds right.
That's the 10,000 hour book, right? The 10,000 hours to make a expert.
Yeah. And so they know that, look, I can't explain, but this sounds right. So let's go ahead with this. And in a sense, good CEOs, always when they walk into the room, they first listen to everything with everyone else says.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, you have to do that. Yeah. They don't walk in and saying, let's do this. You know, then you got groupthink and that'll be a disaster.
Right.
So they walk in, they probably have an idea what to do, but they listen to what everyone else is saying.
And then
they say, okay, let's go with this.
Yeah, works.
Right? And that works, right? Yeah. And that works. And that's what we saw this happen, you know, in this story.
Mm-hmm.
That, normal film could take anything between 3 to 6 months to be produced.
Mm-hmm.
This film got produced in less than 3 weeks and went on air.
Yeah.
And it is, and you remember, this is a time when, you know, nowadays ads are being made with, you know, iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time when this is a real ad, which is made with cameras which had films in them, you know, and therefore you had to shoot with real celluloid, and then you do telecine and reverse telecine and color correction and stuff like that.
I remember all that.
Yeah, and, you know, so it was, in a sense, a miracle, but it happened and
it can happen.
Yeah, it can happen, yeah.
It can
happen. But it can't happen only from the agency or the client. It has to happen from both sides.
Yeah.
The client has to be quick in decision making. The agency has to be able to pick up the ball and run very hard. And also, you know, agency does really nothing, right? You have to get the film producer, director to move at the same speed. And so I think we were lucky. We ended up getting a good ad out in literally 2 to 3 weeks' time.
All right, awesome. I think that's a great place to end this episode. We'll be back next week with the next chapter, where we're going to discuss value, quality over cost.
Yeah, thank you very much.